in Isaiah 55 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me." This is Jesus speaking. Listen. How many times does he say it? Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Wow. Come, buy and eat without cost. You know, Trent's book this morning, what did he say? The cost of following Jesus is everything. Count that cost. If you want to follow him, it will cost you everything. But we lose our lives to find them, because he is life. But how do we do that? This is completely opposite. If we don't receive from him, we have nothing to give. And we can never, ever, ever be good enough to receive anything from his hand. We'll miss that. We missed that before they were born. That was gone in the garden. But Jesus. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And there is no limit, because he is that love. He is the life. And there's no condemnation with him. It's like we spoke last night about the woman caught in adultery. What did he say to her? Go and sin no more. He didn't condemn her. There was grace, but she needed to repent, and she needed to follow him. God was speaking to me today about the Samaritan woman at the well. The disciples were offended that he would even be talking to her. But he looked at her, and he loved her. And what did he do? He talked to her about her sin. One word about her sin. And she ran and told the whole village that he knew everything about who she was. He did. He looked at her and he knew her completely. But he loved her and he extended grace to her. He said, you, one day we will, like we people, will worship in spirit and in truth. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And he said to her, woman, if you had any idea who it is who's talking to you, you would say, give me to drink, and I would give you of the living water that you thirst no more. That's what he says to us. Come, buy, and eat, you who have no money. Compared to him, we're naked and wretched and poor and blind. We got nothing. But he wants to fill you and fill you and fill you and love on you and heal you. How is Luke's message right now? Forgiveness is the key. It unlocks something. But once we've got unlocked that, let go of our hatreds, we got to be filled. You got to drink and drink and drink of the living water, that you can be healed on the inside and full to overflowing.
And it is your identity, as we were just hearing. We are citizens of who? Heaven. Not of earth. No longer Greek, no longer Jew, no longer slave. When you get your identity not in your culture, but your identity in heaven's culture, a citizen of heaven, it changes everything. We are in the world, but not of it. We are sojourning, we are passing through. It's so important to find and discover who you are in Christ, which gets rid of your Irish, Scottish, Welsh, English, Maori, Samoan. We're not of this world. And it's the spirit of adoption that we are then called sons and daughters of the Most High God. The danger is that when we become citizens of this earth, we fight for this earth. We become citizens of heaven, we become heavenly minded. We're in the world, but no longer of it. And so the manifest presence of God is that God himself dwells and seated on the throne. And there is a rainbow around him like an emerald. And he is literally the source of light and life and truth. So it's all to do with relationship. And the key to it is your heart. Out of your heart comes the wellspring of life. Watch over it with all diligence. So the greatest commandment is give all your heart to him. Where your treasure is, where your heart is. So if you've put your heart in the hands of the Lord who's sitting upon the throne, and then you are of some earthly use. Because then you realize where your destiny is. You know where your true calling is. It is to be with him. My beloved is mine. And I am his. My beloved is mine. So it's an intimacy of preparation for a bride. Bride of Christ. None of us can be prepared pure and holy. It's his holiness and it's his purity that's transmitted to us in the Holy of Holies. Thank God the veil has been torn that we have access into the manifest presence of God. It's not here on earth. It is where? In the heavens. The Holy of Holies was destroyed in the temple. They rebuilt it. It was destroyed again. They're trying to rebuild it again. But guess what? It doesn't dwell within stones. It dwells within living temples made by God's hand. So the kingdom of heaven is within you. When you turn from your sin, when you repent and you ask Christ in you, then he abides in you. You have access then to the throne of God, to the mercy seat. Where? Where is it? A million miles out? No. Within you. The altar of worship. The key is to find that altar of worship to be restored. Then God rebuilds the broken vessel, doesn't he? Then he restores the wall. Sometimes we have to take a shield and a sword to protect that. There is a battle. We need others to stand alongside us while we're being rebuilt. But the key is, Lord, I forgive. Then he can heal the broken heart. Isaiah 61, the famous message that we read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. To do what? Let's turn to it. This is an interesting music stand. I heard there is shaking under the anointing. Yeah. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners, proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, so that you may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Then you will rebuild the walls. Then you rebuild the cities and the foundations. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the message, of course. So the Spirit of God is upon who? Jesus. God anointed him. But thank God he also anoints people, doesn't he? You've been given anointing. Is that 1 John 2:20? An anointing that abides, that rests upon you. Psalm 105, verse 15, it's talking about the anointing, the presence of God. Sometimes it's called a mantle. Sometimes it's called just the presence. But it's the Spirit of the living God who comes upon us. We can have also a corporate anointing. How many know about that? How many know we just had a corporate anointing?
That's right.
There was an anointing corporately.
Yeah.
So we've got Jesus anointed. We have us individually carrying an anointing. Then we have a corporate anointing. How many love this fact we can have corporate anointing?
Yeah. Yes, come on. Beautiful.
Because God wants to light our fire. God wants to anoint us. But then what happens? You put a lot of hot, burning coals together. You have a furnace. You have a fire. You have a corporate presence. We then also know that the anointing can teach us. He said in 1 John 2, verse 27, you have anointing that you receive from that remains in you. You don't need anyone to teach you, but the anointing teaches you about all things. This anointing is real. It's not a counterfeit. It is remaining with you. Now, the danger with discipleship is that we think they're our disciples. But true discipleship is not for them to become your disciples. That had become disciples of Jesus. Paul said, some follow Apollos, some follow Peter, some even trying to follow me. Guess what you're supposed to be following?
Jesus.
So you're a disciple of who?
Jesus.
You've been adopted by the Spirit of God to Jesus. So if anything, maybe my walk can help you follow Jesus yourself. But at the end of the day, they're not to be following me.
Right.
The danger with leadership is that we get people to think, well, I'm going to make them my disciples. Well, thank God they buck out of that system. And it's going to take a lot more than you to make. We don't want many me's, do we?
No.
Thank God he's only given you a little bit of the puzzle to help that person become a disciple.
Yeah.
You're going to need somebody who will teach. It's a different person. Somebody's going to help get them saved, evangelize them. Some who are going to clean them up and do a bit of prophetic work on them. Some who are actually just going to pass them and love them. What we need is the whole body operating in the fullness of a family so that the person comes to maturity in Christ. So there is an anointing, the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest ways is that what separates us from hearing God, it says our sin. So it's not to rub your nose in it, but you deal with your sin so that you can have access to hear the Lord. If faith comes by hearing, you don't want any sin to separate you from that. And only the blood of Jesus can cover that which has been repented. You're looking at me quietly. God's purpose. What is it? Joel 2, verse 28 and 29. In these last days, he's going to what? On. Now, what they do with it is a different story, isn't it?
Yeah.
If God's going to pour out his presence, he reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. Do you understand that? So if you actually repent, you could actually grow into the calling of God. If you don't, you may be literally reigning on some other stuff. You might be moving in something else. God loves us even while we're sinners. So his love is available to even sinners. And he even speaks to sinners. Whether they have ears to hear, that's a different story. But he speaks to them. He reveals, he gives dreams and visions to them. It's extraordinary. To what? Bring them to the knowledge of God. So what do you do when the Holy Spirit comes? We can dream, we have visions. It's supernatural, isn't it? It's extraordinary, the anointing of the Holy Spirit poured out. The earlier rain, the latter rain. The earlier rain is to just germinate the seeds. But the rain will also germinate bad seeds that are in your life.
Yeah.
It'll germinate what's in your field.
Very good.
Okay? So what we're doing, we're trying to be good gardeners, aren't we? Rooting out the stuff that's starting to pop up.
Yeah.
Hopefully you've got to the root of some of the big stuff so that it's not exactly crowding out.
Yeah.
The imperishable seed that's been planted in you. So the level that you allow God to work out and clean your conscience and work through your deep-rooted issues is the level that how well your garden grows. I preached on that a while ago, didn't I? So some of us need to be doing a bit of harrowing, some need to be ploughing, some need a bit of dunamis power to blow some of those stumps out. But the axe is laid at the root of every tree that doesn't bear good fruit. So we are gardeners, and we want to become well-watered gardens, and we want to have the earlier rain, and the latter rain is to actually bring the seed. The key with the anointing is it's not something you can drag or pull down or try pray down or whatever. It's to do with a heart attitude. The eyes of the Lord look across the earth for a heart that's devoted to Him. So your heart response and love towards Him brings the anointing. It's not something you can work up. It's not something you fast or pray up. Fasting is great, prayer is good, but receiving is a different story.
Right.
Many people believe but never learn how to receive. Faith isn't just believing. Faith is receiving. You can believe that God loves you, but if you don't receive that love, you've just got a belief that is never fulfilled. You may believe that God can do miracles, but if you don't receive the miracle, you're still in your issues. You may believe that God wants to anoint you, but unless you receive the anointing, you haven't actually fulfilled it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I go, by faith, Lord, I believe that you love me, that you've called me, that I literally can lift my hands to heaven. I now wait and receive. So it's actually easier to receive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because only God can give. I find most Christians haven't come to a place and rest in their identity in Christ to know how to receive. How many fathers love to give stuff to their kids? So if God the Father wants to give you the Holy Spirit, what does the child do? Just receives it. Oh my God, you have healing for me. Thank you, Lord. You receive it. Oh my gosh, you have miracles for me. You literally pour a miracle power into my... And then what am I doing? I'm overflowing with it and moving with that. In other words, when I have the overflow of God's presence, what will happen? Miracles will take place when I touch people. Because I have faith, I believe, I lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. So it's faith, not by feeling, but guess what? How many love to have the feeling associated with faith? How many like to feel the power? Three of you, okay? How many like to feel the love?
Yes.
Do you know love is a feeling?
Yeah.
Joy is a feeling. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Peace is a feeling. So we're not living on the feeling, but we were believing by faith that we can actually receive. Taste and see. Taste and eat. So for me, I actually feel daily the peace, the presence, the joy, the love, the intimacy, the power of the Holy Spirit. Am I doing anything? No. I am just in an attitude of wherever I'm going, in any moment in time, His presence can come upon me. And He's already in me, so hopefully I've already allowed Him to fill me up.
So good.
So if you're a vessel that's totally ready to receive from the Lord, you are continually in an attitude for Him to actually continually fill you up. Out of your innermost being will come rivers of living water. You should be overflowing with the presence of God. Not because you come to a conference. Not because someone lays hands upon you.
Yep.
Not because someone prophesies over you. But you are literally walking in the light, as He is in the light.
Yes.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yep.
The fullness of Jesus is emanating out.
So
you're looking to the person that you love. God is light, so you should just naturally radiate.
Right, very good.
If you're fixing your eyes upon Him, who is the source of love, who is the source of peace, who is the source of all life, that should just be coming out of you as a natural overflow of your connection with Him.
Yes. So good.
The obedient enter the rest. Cease striving and enter the rest. And the most rested person is someone who knows they're loved. Not trying to perform for it. Not trying to earn it. They have come to a place of the love and acceptance in Him. You become very immovable because you are literally rooted and grounded in Him. You are planted upon the rock of your salvation. You are secure. You have built your house upon something that's so secure, Christ the cornerstone. And do you realize you can actually see it on people's countenance? The unlearned, untaught disciples, they said, we could see that they've been with Jesus. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
And Jesus had already gone to heaven. But they could see that these people had been with Jesus.
Yeah.
So the anointing and manifest presence of God is a tangible thing. Tangible. How does it come? There is, well, let's have a look. There's heaps of them. We'll just jump in there. Trembling and shaking. Jeremiah 5 verse 22 talks about they trembled at his presence. 1 Corinthians 2, 3, they shook. So this is a Greek word of going to and fro. Some people call the anointing the dancing hand of God. What I've noticed when I watch the anointing of God move is that He doesn't do it like we think He does it. We try and line everyone up and knock them all down. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He's dancing.
Yeah, that's right.
And you've got to have eyes to see what the Spirit of God's doing. You have to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God's doing. Because the danger is if you actually just get people to come thinking that they're going to get their need met by you praying for them, they'll be sorely disappointed.
Right.
But if the Lord engages them, if the Lord anoints them, and the Lord's dancing hand touches you, how many know then something's going to happen?
Right.
So if God's not moving, why are we?
Very good.
We don't have to make anything happen.
Yeah.
If God doesn't move upon everyone you speak to, that's fine. Because He's still there. Have they connected with that? Well, I have no idea. It's not my job for them to connect.
Right.
It's their job to connect. I'm already connected. Now, whether they're getting connected or not, it doesn't really bother me because it brings a rest and takes away performance.
Yes. So
you don't have to perform. You don't have to strive. You don't have to do anything. You have to find the rest in God, the place in God, so that if the dancing hand of the Holy Spirit starts to go, oh, I'm going to move on that person, you can just be talking, and suddenly the Holy Spirit comes and goes, oh, my goodness sake. The anointing, the presence. This woman's been trembling under the anointing ever since she walked in. You've got zero to do with this meeting. You've got zero to do with me. It's got to do with God. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
But we can bless what God's doing. Because God loves us all.
Yeah.
But sometimes we're to pray, sometimes we're to receive, sometimes we're to give. Is that right?
Yes. That's right.
Sometimes we're to cry, sometimes we're to laugh, sometimes we're to run, sometimes we're to sleep. Who cares? Whether he's with you and will not depart from you, He'll never forsake you. He loves you more and more committed to you and your unfaithfulness, your laziness, your sin. He's more committed to us than we are to Him.
Yes.
So true.
He has more idea that you might make it than you do.
Yeah, totally.
He has more desire for you to fulfill destiny and have fruitfulness in this world than you do. But if you get into His heart, if you get connected with Him, He will take you places that you wouldn't expect. He will swing wide open doors that you haven't even got a clue about. He will bring you before stuff that you just go, how the heck did I end up here? How did that happen? Shahar Amas. But Lord, You have appointed me. You have touched me. You are able to lift me up. You are able to bring me down. I'd rather be bringing myself down enough so that You can lift me up.
Yeah.
I'd rather decrease, as we heard today, that He might increase. I need to learn how to serve before I actually become other people serve me.
Yeah.
I want to learn how to be a son or a daughter first.
Yeah.
And once I become that son and daughter, I have a place of security. Falling under the anointing. The priest couldn't stand when Solomon's temple was built. I mean, I've been in meetings where God's so rich in that meeting. Every single person is gone under the presence of God. No one touching, no one blowing on them, no one going, more, Lord, just God turning up in the house. I've seen it. And they're not down for 5 minutes. They can be down for hours. And no one prophesying over them, no one flipping, doing shandalala on them, just God on them. Some of you, when you heard the Father Heart message, perhaps for the first time, you need hours, you need days. You might need the rest of your life to figure that one out.
Yeah.
That message is not just a one-off altar call where we lay hands. It's something that you need to go deep under.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had this message in 1983 in a Waiawam ship called the Anastasis. It changed me forever. I literally shook. I could not move out of my chair for 4 or 5 hours dealing with my anger and some issues towards my own dad. And I tell you what, it changed me forever. It changed me. Thank God we need to have this message brought into the house. It's so important. But he turns our mourning into joy. How many know you can be happy and still cry? I don't know. I'm a crier. But I tell you what, I can be so deeply, deeply moved. Deeply moved. Deep calls unto deep. I love that scripture in Psalms. Deep calls unto thy waterfalls have washed. Waves of God. You need to know how to even experience the tangible waves of God, the waterfalls from heaven. If you're a visual person, ask God to give you open heaven. We have visions, dreams. Come on, ask for that so that you literally go in the supernatural realm into those waterfalls, into those pools of refreshing, that you go into the river. You go in there. You don't talk about it. You literally, by the Spirit, allow God to open up the revelation of that and be taken by the Spirit into that river. And you can drink of that river. You can swim in that river and you can breathe in that river. We're to be filled, drunk with the Holy Spirit. So filled you can't stand. I can get to the point where no one needs to lay hands upon me. I can be literally slam dunked by the Holy Spirit without anyone coming near me. In fact, sometimes it's a better way. So you need to learn how to receive the anointing, how to receive the presence by a hard attitude and waiting. Most Christians don't have time to wait. They want the instant, wham, bam. You know, we need to learn how to wait and receive. As we receive, to know even the presence of God filling you up. I can tell when the anointing is at my ankles. I can tell when it's at my knees. It's like we see in Ezekiel 47. I can feel it at my waist. I can feel it up to my shoulders. And I can feel when I'm totally immersed in the presence of God. Are you dipping your toe in? Are you half filled? Or are you filled to overflowing? Do you know how to move in the manifest presence of God? First thing, how can you receive the manifest presence of God? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? Can you see it? Some people can physically see. Other times it's like a breath. There's a wind of the Spirit. God breathed life into man. Jesus breathed upon his disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be exciting if Jesus himself, by the Spirit, turns up and walks into you? Have you ever seen that? Oh, I've seen that. I was in a meeting and I was looking and I thought, oh God, the Lord is here. I watched him literally without anyone touching or praying or prophesying over them. I watched Jesus literally step into someone.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness sake. The power of God hit that person. They fell and whatever God was doing, I don't know if it was a physical miracle or an encounter, changed forever.
Wow.
And you just walk over and step into someone else. I was just looking, watching. Sometimes the angelic would come and I would just watch and see where they moved. I'd be looking to see where the Holy Spirit was moving. How many know he moves a lot better than we do?
Yeah.
Eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to know, mind of Christ. Changed, Christ in me, the Lord walking with me, habitating with me. And of course, there's commissioning. Sometimes with it, there was a kingly anointing. Remember, they had prophets used to anoint the kings? How would you like to have a kingly anointing?
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Well, we call that a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Yeah. So all of us can receive that. Yeah. It's New Testament, not old.
Yeah.
Kingly anointing.
Right.
To meet with the King of Kings. Not to get half of the kingdom, to get all authority, all power. There's a priestly anointing, isn't it? They used to anoint the priests, the thumbs, the toes. Well, how would you like to know that you're also a priest under the order of Melchizedek? So you can receive a kingly anointing, you can receive a priestly anointing, and then you've got a prophetic anointing. How many know we can all prophesy? Mm-hmm. Doesn't make you a prophet, but you can prophesy. So therefore, we have a prophetic anointing.
So good.
And the results, refreshing come. The glory around comes. Remember Moses? Stephen, as they stoned him to death, his face looked angelic. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father literally begins to transform the realm and the countenance of Christ here on earth. Can he transform your countenance and your realm here on earth? Can you start to look angelic?
Yes.
Should you start to look angelic?
Yes.
Should you start to look like you've been with angels and you've been with Christ and that you've encountered the Shekinah glory, the manifest presence of God, that he is literally transforming you from glory to glory on your inner man, but is actually somehow shining out to your outer man, better than the Avon lady. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. It's faith is replaced by not fear. Fear is what the government has been leading us in for the last how many months. You know what the thing gets rid of fear? Perfect love. Cast out all fear. Fear not, for I am with you. What can separate us from the love of God? Life, death, principality, power. Pestilence, plague, famine, earthquake, sword, nothing. Because the love casts out all fear. So the kingdom that we serve is a kingdom led by love. What are you afraid of? Provision, sickness, death, loss, what are you afraid of? Though they slay me. How many know that even if they slay you, God can bring you back? It's called resurrection power. To live is Christ, to die is gain.
Yeah.
You get out of here if you die. Who'd like to have a martyr's crown? Not one of you. No zealots in this meeting. Who are willing to die? Gosh, some of you really got some problems. What is the cross? Death.
Yeah.
What's baptism? Death. Are you willing to die to live?
Yes.
Are you willing to die not just to sin, but to ambition, to your future? Are you willing to die to find out his future, his plans, and his destiny?
Yeah. Yes. So good.
Are you willing to decrease or you do want to be increasing?
Yeah.
Do you want to take the humble ancient pathways or do you want to take the new highways and fly over all the suffering, the temptation, the trials and the wilderness? Because until you've been tested, you won't come in the power. Many of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but very few of us are willing to go through the testing and the wilderness to come into the power. Even Jesus went through the wilderness to come into the power. He was tested in all things, but without sin. How many have been tested in all things and come up short?
Yeah.
But thank God we can repent.
Yes.
Have another go. Though they knock me down, I'll stand back up. Because God's not going to keep you down. God's going to pick you up. So there's a mixture of repentance and also destiny, but not getting so inflated and so full of yourself that you want to be up there. The ones I want up there are the ones that don't want to be up there. That's what Jesus said. We talk about Moses being the humblest man on earth. I don't want to preach. I can't preach. My brother. That's the kind of person you want to preach from.
Yeah.
And he was a great deliverer. And how do you treat when your brothers kill you and throw you into the pit? Do you forgive them? Or do you love them? What do you do when an anointed man throws a spear at you and tries to kill you? Like David? He never touched the anointed. He was once anointed, he wouldn't touch him. One of the greatest tests that takes you out of ever leading is how you respond to leaders that hurt you. If you can't deal with that, David continued to love and forgive, knowing that he was anointed by the same prophet that anointed him, the same Holy Spirit anointed him. Although he knew he was demonized, because he found that out early on when he was worshiping around him, although he knew he was demonized and he had lost the kingdom because he had had it ripped from him when he took Samuel's garment, the kingdom's been taken from you, David would not touch because it was not God, it was not his job to judge. His job was to follow the Lord and to duck the spears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the true anointed people are hiding in caves, but God's calling them out for this last day. There's a great army that's been slain. Who? By the church. It's a Ezekiel army, a valley of dry bones. It's been Christians that have killed other Christians.
Mm. Yeah.
But God's going to call with resurrection power that Ezekiel army back. Are you willing to be part of it?
Yeah.
It requires a new wineskin. It requires a new heart of forgiveness. Requires an anointing that will literally break the yoke. God wants to equip and train us. God wants us to do miracles. He wants to enlarge our tent. He wants to enlarge our vision. And if you think it's all over, it hasn't even begun.
That's right.
And if you think they're going to park you, sorry, that's mostly when you're going to get used. But God doesn't use and abuse you. And the key is not following someone else's vision. You're actually supposed to be following the Lord's.
Yeah.
Humility. Serving. Heart response. Holy Spirit comes like oil. Holy Spirit comes like pure light. Holy Spirit comes like a dove. Holy Spirit comes like fire. All of these things can happen at the same time. You can get the fire, the wind, the anointing, the whole lot all happening at the same time, and that's wonderful. Encounter with the manifest presence of God. Okay, I've preached, talked too long, so should we just pray for that?
Yeah.
Yes, do it.
You've heard enough preaching to sink a ship in your life anyhow. So however you receive, not how, it's a posture of the heart, isn't it? Some people lie, stand, sit, lift their hands. I don't care how you do it. How you personally engage God in your own personal private place, I'd like you to do that right now. And invite the Holy Spirit, the manifest presence of God, to come upon you. And let's see who the dancing hand of the Lord may start to anoint. I mean, the keen ones jump in there straight away. The others are the spectators. Look, that's fine. But if you want to get in there, jump in there. I don't know how you do that. And let's just see if we can see the Holy Spirit move on some of you and touch you. So, Lord, we invite you to come and touch vessels that love you. Come and anoint them as only you can. Come and visit them. We don't want to miss the day of visitation. We don't want to miss that time. And it's a now. It's a now presence. So now.